Welcome to the One Guy Show, where we're going to be bringing you nutritional and mindset insights to help you gain nutritional freedom, lose weight faster, build a winner's mindset, all without the stress, guesswork, and sacrifice that you're used to. Now, this podcast specializes in helping women break free from the dieting shackles that society has placed them in and provides them with a clear path to success. So let's dive in.
And we're live and we're live and we're live. This is a unique moment for us. Ryan, I don't think I've ever opened a podcast.
No, I don't think you have actually. So, you know, 2024, I think we've been smashing up podcasts, smashing up guests. People aren't going to know what's happening in the podcast. What's happened to us? We're different guys.
That was nearly one of those moments where, actually, I'm not even going to bring it up. My childish brain kicks in then.
Let's just leave that there.
But yeah, no, I've never opened a podcast. It's usually you. So I really want to surprise everyone who's listening today with hello. Ryan is here, but I just thought I'm taking control today. I'm leading this shit.
Goes big boy pants on.
I'm not even going to ask you how you are because
We've done well. And I think we've had some good topics and people on. Like someone that I know that listens to this podcast, they were like, oh, you've been doing very well recently, uploading all your podcasts, getting them out, episodes. She was like, I keep saying if you're subscribed to podcasts, right, it pops up. So she was like, it keeps popping up that you're doing podcasts. And I'm like, yeah, proud of ourselves.
It's the weirdest thing though. Someone that I go to the gym with. So I basically do like these classes. And
Hayden does CrossFit, if you didn't know.
CrossFit, not a big deal. And basically, obviously, the owner of the business, he knows what I do. And someone asked him a nutrition question, and I was in the class, and he was like, oh, you want to ask that person? So he pointed at me, and then obviously, this is when, like, so it's 8 to a class, and then everyone is, like, silent, everyone's attention on me, they ask me the question, I'm like, and she basically said, do you have any, like, information or anything, anywhere I can go to, website, the classic, or like a podcast. She was like, I listen to podcasts. If you have a podcast, that was amazing. But it's a really weird thing that obviously I want this podcast to grow. Obviously, I want people to listen to it. But at the same time, I'm almost like, I don't.
We do. Our podcast is good. We have good feedback. Good guests, man. Stand by it. I'll stand by our podcast. Don't worry, podcast. I love you.
It's really, really good. But it was just one of those things where it's like, and she, what made it even worse, right, is she was in the class trying to find it on like iTunes. And then she found one, like played it. You listen to your own voice out loud. And I'm like, oh, I just turn it off. Like, don't do this.
Yeah, I suppose because I've done talking videos on my social media. Goodness gracious. Like for like 8 years, probably. No, more than that. Yeah, probably like 9-10 years now. So I'm used to hearing my voice. And I listen to the podcast because I upload it and then get it back and have to listen to it to make sure there's no errors. So I hear it. I hear myself all the time. Whereas I suppose if you don't listen to our podcast, and if you do talking videos, but not as much, and you probably don't watch your content back that much, haven't heard your voice, apart from probably the last year is when you started to hear it. It does take you quite a while to get used to hearing your own voice. At first, you're like, if I sound like that, God forbid, how many people think I'm an idiot?
it is bad.
And it's watching yourself and things like that. It's comedy value. Anyway, we're going to dive straight in today. I'll let Hayden, you carry on taking the lead, mate. You grab the ball by the horns.
This is my time to shine. So today's podcast it's going to be a little bit of a vent one, to be honest. And everyone loves a good vent. Like everyone really enjoys these type of conversations. But there's probably going to be a few people that are actually listening to this as well and are going to get triggered by this and maybe aren't going to agree with me. And that's absolutely fine. But I'm just going to I'm going to give you my reasoning behind it. You can come to your own conclusion whether you want to do it or not. And this really, I've got to take you a little bit of a step back of a story to like why this conversation comes about. And there may be one person that does listen to us and they're like, well, my God, he's talking about me. But I'm not going to name any names. And there's probably a high chance that, you know, they probably won't hear this. But I had a situation this week where essentially my job as a coach, right? So this is taking it even further step back to actually what we're going to talk about. But my job as a coach is not to be there as a cheerleader. And what I mean by as a cheerleader is just to be like, if you tell me everything's great, awesome, I love that. Like, I'm here to support you on that. But also my goal is you joined this program, you came into our community because you wanted a result. And my job is to get you that result. It's almost like going to any other like, correct. This is what I always found bizarre about personal training is like a lot of personal trainers don't actually, their clients don't really get great results. They've been with them for like a couple of years, but they just love them. And I've definitely been victim to this, by the way. It's like, I've just coached someone and it's definitely, we might as well just go for a coffee. There's no point exercising because we're not really progressing forward at all. But, you know, especially being in the online world and it's not as personal, you've got to be making sure that your clients get results. At the end of the day, that's what they signed up for. So that is my number one objective. But like I said, I will be there to cheer you. But if I do not get given the correct data that I need to make sure you're moving in the right direction, I can only go off what you're telling me. And if you're telling me on one hand that you're feeling good, and then in the next check-in, you're telling me that you don't feel so good and you feel disheartened because the scale's not moving, well, I've got to be there to let you know that I don't know how to make this change because you're not giving the data points needed. So data is the biggest key to moving forward with your progress, that you have to have data, like data over emotion, because we've all had those moments, right, where we've stepped on the scales, we've done something and we've been super disheartened, our emotion has taken over and we've probably actually that day act out of anger in terms of like...
And sorry, go on. I was going to say, like the underpinning reason as to why you must track data on your weight loss journey is literally because when things goes well, you want to know why it's gone well and how you can repeat it. And if things don't go well, you want to know why it didn't go well and how you cannot repeat it. It is that simple. Whereas if you don't have data, you never know why the scales went up, why your hunger went up, why your sleep's bad, why your energy's bad, why your sleep's good, why your energy's good, what scales have gone down. And then you're playing a guessing game. And ultimately, if you are just leaving your weight loss to chance, it is like flipping a coin, heads or tails, as to whether you're going to make progress or not. And that is no doubt going to leave you demotivated, not driven to continue with what you're doing, which eventually is going to lead you to quit. Data is everything on your weight loss journey.
Mm, yeah, 100%. And that kind of like leads us into really nicely, like the situation that I was talking about and alluding to a second ago of where, you know, we came to a slight clash of our heads. Now, this particular person, I'm not going to name names, basically, you know, we haven't been tracking the data properly. We haven't been giving me the correct data that I need to understand how I can keep moving them forward. So when one check-in happens and they see a new low weigh-in on the scales, the check-in reflects the best day in the world, the best time. But there's only one data point to that, that one weigh-in that week. Now, if it gets to the next week and the weigh-in happens again, but it's actually a little bit heavier, well, it's like, it's the worst thing in the world, right? Feeling really disheartened, actively telling me that, you know, probably need to drop calories down lower, like all of these things, basically trying to control the process. But this is where, you know, you might have your own opinion. This is where, you know, I know Ryan and a lot of good coaches are very leaning on towards what I'm about to say, is if you are going to track your daily weigh-ins, you should track them every single day and not once or twice a week. And if you're sitting here and you're saying, well, I don't track my weigh-ins every single day because I have a bad relationship with the scales, that is making it worse. Exactly like Ryan said, because you're just literally it's like a flick of the coin. It's like just flipping the coin, hoping that it's going to go in the way that you want it to.
I've had clients before that have only weighed on their check-in once a week. I do not pay any attention to their weigh-ins as a progress marker because of that. I only pay attention to their measurements and their photos in that case, because ultimately that could be the same from 1 week to the next, but you haven't seen that the average was lower if you'd have weighed every day. I would argue that actually you either weigh every day and get weekly averages or don't weigh at all. But if you are going to weigh sporadically, once a week is too many fluctuations. I'd weigh once a month, because if you are on the right track, I would argue that once a month, you should see it going down in a trend. because most women do. And I think that most women who aren't having a good relationship with the scales weigh once a week. And I think this has come from things like Slimming World and Weight Watchers, where you weigh in once a week and they've built this habit. Now, I'm here to say, if you do have a bad relationship with the scales, the best thing that you could do is to weigh every single day to get used to the fluctuations and take a weekly average. Because the more you become observant of it and the more you view it, the better relationship you're going to have, because you're going to understand it. If you're not going to weigh daily and get a weekly average, I'd argue then just weigh yourself once a month, because once a week can fluctuate too much, that once a week is almost then too often sporadically, if that makes sense. You ultimately want to then spread the sporadicness out to give enough gap to actually see something trending down. Otherwise, it is not a relative marker that is going to give you a true data point to actually use.
No, exactly. And the only reason that you have a bad, it's the same with food, right? The only reason you have a bad relationship with the scales is because you don't understand scale weight fluctuations. Yeah. Because if you did understand them properly, which is why tracking daily gives you that understanding on why these fluctuations happen and what our coaching does.
Yeah.
You're always going to have that poor relationship. And it's the same with food. It's like, if you only, like, if you're viewing food as good and bad, you know, and you're only eating good foods, well, it's going to create a poor relationship with food, because you're not eating your foods you love, but you don't understand actually the relationship of calories for your fat loss goal and nutrients.
Yeah. And this is why it's harder, because if you only weigh yourself once a week, you've now got to wait another whole week to hope that this week it goes down if it stayed the same for 2 weeks. Whereas if you weigh daily, you will see it trending over the space of a week down. You don't have to wait a week. Exactly like food, right? We know that to create food neutrality, you have to have all foods in moderation and balance throughout the space of like a week or a month, for example, right? We know that if, like, one thing that everyone knows now is that cheat meals are not good, to have like a cheat meal or a cheat day, because you're creating a bad connotation around food and seeing food as good and bad. And food neutrality is really the most important thing to have a good relationship with food. Yet with the scales, we're doing the same thing. We're weighing in once a week. It's like having a cheat day. You are placing so much power on that one day, which actually is going to have a negative impact further down the line. Whereas if you have a chocolate bar every single day, I've done that with clients. It has created a better relationship with food. It's removed the power away from chocolate, and they eventually have stopped craving it, stopped seeing it as negative, and it's given them such a better outlook in regards to that. It is the same with the scales and same with food.
Yeah, 100%. And this is where the issue lied, right? Because this client, I was saying, if you want to weigh yourself once a week, that's absolutely fine. Just like Ryan said, we can't take it as a measure of progress, but you cannot let it make you feel disheartened with it. This is where I guess it gets really frustrating. And we were talking a little bit off air, right? Is when someone comes to you and they ask for your help, or they come into your program, but they don't do the things that you're saying, there's no trust there at all.
Yeah.
And it's like, you don't trust the process of what I'm putting you through, because your own internal bias that you've built up over years, which I'm going to say, how has that served you so far? Well, I'm assuming not very well, because you're in the program for a reason. So
if you hire a coach or you go into something to help you lose weight, you have to commit to this 100%. And if the coach is saying, I need this data to be able to do my job, it's like taking your car and you don't do it. It's like taking your car to the garage and them saying, please, can you bring your locking wheel nut? And you don't bring your locking wheel nut and they can't take the wheels off and you blame the garage. And I'm like, they've asked you to do something. You have to do it. Again, because sometimes there's not ways around it, right? Like a locking wheel nut, there's no way to be like, okay, cool, you don't want to bring a locking wheel nut. Let's find another way. When it comes to us as coaches, we can reduce the amount of data you're collecting, yes, but we can't just not collect data. We need it. So if your coaches ask you to collect data and you're turning up to a check-in without the data, the coach can't do their job, right? And as much as it's all about being flexible with the client, yes, data, we can't do our job without data. There are flexible ways to help improve your relationship with food, help manage stress, help manage your sleep. There's loads of different things that we can do to implement things, right? There's no one size fits all. But when it comes to just collecting general data for your coach to be able to use, that is something that every coach is going to need to have. A coach can't not collect data and do a good job with you, sadly, because ultimately then they're just guessing. You're like, how are you feeling? Yeah, I'm feeling good. okay, cool. So I presume like your energy's up, but oh, I don't know why your energy's up. So I'm not really sure how to tell you what to do. Do you see what I mean? You're then having to take loads of time to just try and find out some basic information, which if you just filled in one box with one number, I could get the majority of that in a few seconds, rather than need to go around the houses trying to find out all this, because ultimately also your recall isn't going to be that good a week later. To what you don't know what your hunger, sleep, energy, digestion, everything was on Monday when it's now Sunday. It's like, it's never going to be accurate. So that's why it's so important to work with your coach and understand that actually tracking data is such an important part of the process. And when we're talking, I suppose it's kind of talking about tracking data. So with scales, we would advocate, if you don't weigh daily and collect weekly averages, right? I would personally then spread out, don't weigh weekly. Weekly is too often to not, it's too often to not iron out fluctuations. I would do it every fortnight or every month instead, if you're just not that happy to do it, right? Arguably, we would say the best way would be weigh yourself daily, take a weekly average and compare the averages. But if you don't want to do that because you have a bad relationship with scales, we're telling you that the best way to do that is to weigh daily. So if you're super against that, that's your own bias. You've got to understand that. So we would then say every 2, 3, or 4 weeks, spread them out further, because at least then you're less likely to see the same number on the scales because it should be trending down, right? And if you do two or three months of that, like if you go a space of 6 weeks and you've weighed 3 times every fortnight and it hasn't gone down, you can probably know you're not in a deficit, right? Pretty common. Yeah. But there still will be people that it hasn't moved that much, right? I've had people whose weight hasn't moved much in the space of 3 weeks, but they've lost like 4 centimeters. So you've got to be careful, because there might be, sometimes there can be reasons to why the weight, right? You've had a Chinese, right? The night before your weigh, and even though you're spreading those weigh-ins even 2 or 3 weeks apart, you might jump up by like 2 kilos overnight. And you're like, oh my God, I went 3 weeks apart. I haven't lost any weight in 3 weeks. This is why you have to be observant of everything that's going around you, which still brings us back to the bloody same circle of like, this is why you need data. Because even if you do it 3 or 4 weeks, depending on what you do before your weigh-in 2 or 3 days before, you still could have a tough time.
And this is literally like that was nail on the head. This is exactly my point of what I was saying to this client individually, because we'd had like one bit of data point over a 3 week period. But from that first week to that third week was higher on the scales. And I was saying, I was like, the problem is here is because we're not tracking daily. We don't know all of the fluctuations that happened in between that. And to the eye, you've just gone, okay, week one, I was this. Week three, I'm now heavier than week one. I'm not making progress.
Yeah.
But what we identified is 2 days before, you were at a work conference eating a buffet. And it's you can logically, when you have this data, you not only does it create a healthy relationship with the scales, but you now actually can logically say on the data, right, okay, over the last 3 weeks, on average, I'm looking, I've lost, let's just say 3 kilos. Okay, cool. Yeah. I then had this event. I had a spike in weight. I know I didn't gain 3 kilos of body fat, because it wouldn't have happened. Like, it wouldn't happen like that. And this is where the education comes in. But because you don't have those data points, I can't sit there and honestly say, oh no, well, you know, we can see over the last 3 weeks that there's actually this big difference that's been going on, because I don't have the data to support that. If I said that, I'd just be lying. I'd be guessing.
Yeah. And that's it. Like, everyone listen to this. You have to track data on your weight loss journey. So as opposed to trying to give you some practical things, what we're saying here basically is you have to track data, because without data, you don't know what went well so you can repeat it. You don't know what didn't go well so you don't repeat it. Data that you want to track, weigh-ins. Weigh-ins, weekly averages. Daily weigh-ins every single time, state in the morning, and then get a weekly average. I suggest collecting calories, because then you ultimately know if you're in a calorie deficit. Protein is something that we'd suggest. Again, I always say fiber, but most women want to be aiming for about 20 to 25 grams of fiber. That's going to be roughly whereabouts you want your fiber to hit for good digestion and health purposes. Those are going to be the main ones, like weigh-ins, calories, protein, fiber. And then obviously weekly measurements. Hip and waist is probably the easiest. So around your waist is your belly button. Hips is the widest part of your hips across your bum. And photos, front, side, and back photos. Same time, same day, same clothing, same state. When you first wake up, after you've been to the toilet, jump on the scales, weigh yourself before you've eaten or drunk anything, and then take those photos as well. Those 5 measurables are going to be like your base foundations, right? And then ultimately, what you also want to do is track what we call biofeedback. which is sleep, energy, hunger, digestion, and stress. The reason as to why you want to tackle this actually works out SREDS. It's like sleep, hunger. I can't remember actually the anonyms, recover. But you get one. Recover. Yeah, it's like that. But you want to track those biofeedback, which is what you call, because ultimately it's giving you feedback as to how your nutrition is supporting you, how your recovery is, but how your lifestyle is, right? Because if you see those things are good, awesome. Let's look at why they're good. How can we repeat it? If you see some of them are bad, oh my God, my sleep was really awful last night. Okay, cool. Well, look, so many people do this, don't they, right? They see something's bad and they're like, my sleep's awful. And I'm like, okay, cool. And I'm like, well, what are we going to do about it then? Because so many times they're just, it's like a statement. I'm like, no, if you notice that your sleep is bad, for example, what you want to do is, right, look at why. Well, what was it? What was the reason? Did I eat really late? Is that why? Was it that I'm in my luteal phase and my sleep is impacted there? Like, you always want to be thinking as much as possible and referring back to the data. Like every woman on their weight loss journey, the more data you collect, the more you refer to the data, the better your results are going to be, because you can make data-driven decisions over emotional-driven decisions. And you are where you are now. Primarily, most of you listening to this and watching this will understand that it's because a lot of the issues that you've had were because they're emotionally driven actions around food.
Mm. Yeah, right, John. 100%. This is, again, and you will see, and this is where it's quite nice, actually, where, you know, coaches do have different opinions. There isn't like, you've got the core foundations, you've got like the rules, right? Example, no coach can argue that the only way to achieve your fat loss goals is being in a negative energy balance, like calorie deficit. Like, no one can do that. But yeah. Different coaches will have different methods to help you teach that. Yeah. And that's okay. That's fine. So one thing that I would personally do is, like, and Ryan was saying it there, is like, I would either do your daily measurements or just measure where your physiology is the same. So as an example, every first day of your menstrual cycle, that is your measurement. That is your weigh-in time. And then you also have to take in consideration, like, make notes and stuff. Okay, say, for example, I weighed in week one of month one and I was 80 kilos. Week one of month two, I weighed in and I was, let's say, 80.5. Okay. By the month, it looks like you've gained 5, but what happened before that weigh-in?
Yeah. Yeah.
Then maybe weigh in again a couple of days later just to see if there's anything going on. There's so many nuances to this.
Like, see your weight loss journey as a game of Where's Wally? You're constantly trying to find and match up the dots as to what's happening and why it's happening. If you weigh yourself daily and you see all the daily weigh-in, you get that weekly average, right? And sometimes you'll see that it sometimes jumps up, sometimes goes down. You can 9 times out of 10 understand why. Oh, I did less steps there. If I'd done less steps, it jumped up. I'm going to see over the weeks, I noticed that when I do less steps, my weight jumps up because I don't burn as many carbs and I'm holding on to more water, right? I notice now when I go out for food, my scales always jumps up and it stays a little bit higher for 2 or 3 days. Now you start to see it logically that when the scales jump up after a night out, when the scales jump up after you don't do as many steps a day before, you now know why that's happening and you ultimately will be so much more relaxed about it. Oh, my sleep is really bad. Oh, I'm due on my period in 3 days. Ah, I've noticed that my sleep is always really bad 2-3 days out from my period. Okay, cool. So I now know 2-3 days out from my period, my sleep's bad. I'm going to make sure that when I know my period should roughly be coming, 2-3 days out, I'm going to really make sure my sleep hygiene's good. And maybe I'm going to get a couple of early nights on those 2 days. That's how you read data. That's how you make relative adjustments. And that's how you make good and consistent progress.
I think that is the perfect mic drop moment for the end of the podcast.
If you struggle with regards to tracking, we have a tracker. Gave it away last night in the old webinar. If you weren't on the webinar, then you missed out. But if you DM me or Hayden on Instagram, the word tracker will send you a link to get your own personal Excel sheet to track relative data to help you on your weight loss journey. And that was a 16-week tracker that tracks everything from weight, calories, steps, protein, sleep, energy, everything. And it shows you averages as well. Very fancy. It's before we had our new fancy pantsy app. So we have one that you can share. So message us tracker for those of you listening to it, and we'll send it over so you can track all of your relevant data and make data-driven decisions over logic-driven decisions. And that, ladies and gentlemen, is the end of today's podcast. I'm Ryan Smith.
half of the One Guys. Thank you for listening.
It's like a news report. The papers, all the papers.
Oh, I should have done a paper shuffle. Missed out there, didn't I? Missed the cat.
No, that's perfect. Right, team, we will wrap this party up and we'll catch you another episode.
See you later, team. Bye.
Bye-bye.